Blog Talk Radio. You're tuned in to N5D Radio, the next dimension of radio where we bring you the hottest in-depth spiritual, metaphysical, esoteric conversations and news with your hosts Greg Prescott and Heidi Cole. Get ready for spirit, body, and mind to expand in 3, 2, 1.
Namaste, everyone, and welcome to N5D Radio, coming to you from the 99% Quartz Crystal Sands of Sarasota, Florida, every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, and 12 a.m. midnight in the UK. I'm your host, Greg Prescott from N5D.com, and for the next 2 hours, we're going to be raising the vibration of the planet, galaxy, and universe. Tonight, our special guest will be Jim Self, as we'll be talking about the transformational shift that's going on. So if you have any questions for Jim, feel free to call in at 646-716-8890. Now, Heidi will not be able to join us tonight as her computer is being repaired after what might be a hack job. So tonight, it's just going to be you, me, and our guest, Jim Self. So, you know, we wish Heidi all the best. And Heidi says to say hi to everybody. Now, as many of you know, the 2013 Bilderberg meeting wrapped up yesterday in England, where thousands of people were in attendance protesting the meeting of the corporate elite as they decide what's in their best interest, not ours. Naturally, Alex Jones was there along with David Icke. While I truly appreciate the many issues that Alex talks about, many of us agree that he fear-mongers way too much. Icke, on the other hand, always brings spirituality into the equation. In a speech at this year's Bilderberg meeting, Icke called for a peaceful revolution.
The world is mad. The world is a complete inversion of itself. And what we need is a peaceful, non-cooperative campaign. The non-comply dance, as I call it. Peaceful, because we ain't joining them. You can have revolutions, and history is littered with them, where violent revolutions remove a tyranny, and what follows is another form of tyranny. You do not create a peaceful society, a loving society, a caring society, and a just society with violence. We can do this peacefully, and we have the numbers. As the poet Shelley said, rise like lions after slumber, with unvanquishable number. Shake your chains to earth like dew. Wishes sleep have fallen on you. Ye are many, they are few.
Now, I've talked a lot about Pluto and Capricorn and how the last time it was in Capricorn was during the American Revolution in 1776. If there's going to be a revolution, it has to be done peacefully. Now, I'm not specifically calling for a revolution, and I'm not necessarily advocating anything, but this particular alignment is already in motion and has dictated what is about to come. Pluto will tear down everything that is not in humanity's best interests, and it's up to the global collective to decide whether this is a peaceful transition or not. In the end, love is the only answer. Okay, it looks like Jim is here, so I would like to introduce author, teacher, and speaker Jim Self, who many of you already are familiar with from N5D.com. Jim is an international teacher, speaker, author, as well as leader in the field of spiritual development. On Jim's YouTube channel called Mastering Alchemy, you can also find monthly updates on keeping pace with the shift. And I post most of his recent updates on N5D News and on my Facebook wall. So you can find that there. So, Jim, welcome to N5D Radio.
Greg, nice to be here with you. Thank you.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you. I've been a big fan of yours for several years. Your material definitely resonates with me and our N5D family. And for those who are not familiar with your work, can you tell us what your Mastering Alchemy website is about and how you got into this area of expertise?
In a short sentence or two?
yeah. In under 30 seconds.
Sure.
No, and, take your time. Take your time.
You know, there is a – how I got into what I do – well, let me start it over here. Mastering Alchemy is about you. It's 100% about the individual beginning to know yourself, to beginning to have a mastery of your focus, your ability to hold your awareness, your ability to raise your vibration, your ability to take the vibrational frequencies that are available to all of us in consciousness and direct them into a manner of well-being. And the Mastering Alchemy program is a series of classes that evolve from kind of a level one where we teach tools. We teach you things that you know. There's not one thing that we provide that you don't know. But what happens is you've forgotten most of this. And so when you begin to find that you can define your energy field and you can begin to find the center of your head, begin to find the higher mind, begin to hold your energy in that sacred heart, not as an intellectual concept, but as an experience that you can direct your life from. But in a way, more importantly, how to be able to allow for the moment the Bilderbergs to have their conference without putting the attention on it that just feeds that structuring. See, one of the things that is becoming really apparent to me is it doesn't take millions to change this game, and it doesn't take hundreds of thousands, and I'm not even sure it takes thousands. It's a level of individuals who are going to begin to hold a focus and begin to draw a level of light, which takes some practice. There's some assembly required in your ascension. And in that particular process, it's those that begin to hold this level of light will influence the rest of humanity in a functional, in a way that simply everybody will put down their guns and those wars will just come to an end. And it's not a wishful thinking that I'm speaking from. It's very practical experiences that I participate in every single day and every single week. The process of your evolution is absolutely stunning when you begin to know what is on on that path. And we can talk about that throughout the whole course of this next little period of time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So basically you're saying, you know, to get out of the mind and into the heart.
Yeah, very much thinking with the heart and beginning to use the wisdom of the soul, which is you. But you don't know that. And one of the reasons you don't know that, and I'm not being, I'm not talking down to anybody at all, but you don't know that because the density of this fallen state of consciousness that we are in, which is a remarkable story in itself, is just so thick that we spend so much time looking into the past and worrying about the future and hoping what happened to me once doesn't happen to me again, and playing in that time application of linear time, which doesn't really even exist anymore. We can talk about that also. But once you start to get into present time and once you start to be able to hold the focus without engaging in the noise all around you, without the worry, the problems all around you, it doesn't mean the problems go away. It's like, yes, I have stuff going on, but you are not your stuff. And when you can begin to distinguish between, yes, I'm going through relationship problems, job problems, I'm losing my house, my child is sick. That's all real stuff, but you are not that stuff. And so when you can begin to recognize you are fine, you're okay, you can't be not okay unless you just start to put your finger in all the stuff and then believe that's who you are. But as you begin to really start to recognize with very little information that you are fine, and then you can handle your stuff in a much more practical way. But it all leads to something pretty extraordinary.
Well, you kind of touched on something I was interested about. How did we get stuck into this third-dimensional construct?
This will take a moment. You know,
okay.
The question is, what is the fall of consciousness? How did that happen? And it's very real. But You know, there were no wars. There were no fallen angels. There were no bad guys in the whole process. A long time ago, the Creator wished to know itself in its fullness. And in that process, it created the archangels. It created many, many great beings that had function and purpose. But one of the groups of beings that were created were the Creator gods. And the ones that were asked to go out and create, add to, show me who I am in my fullness, kind of the Creator said. So this what I'm telling you comes from a lot of intimate conversations with Archangel Michael and Uriel, particularly in my reality. So one of the things that happened, though, is as these great creations, universes, were created and much more, those Creator gods had the capacity to create within a specific template that the Creator provided. It's like a blueprint. Here, go create. And they did for a very long time, and everything was fine in all that is. And then it's kind of like one day, which didn't happen one day, but one day, somebody put the building blocks together in a format that had never been put together before. It's like they were supposed to be put 1, 2, 3, 4, and somebody put them together as 1, 3, 4, and 2. And it wasn't noticed immediately, but it began to be noticed. And as it began to be noticed, there was a point where the great beings petitioned the Creator and said, you know, there's more, and we want to participate in more. And it was at that point where the Creator created some really amazing things, free will being one of those things, and expanded the capacity of the Creator beings. And in that process, the Creator beings created just remarkable things. And they created more Creator beings, and those Creator beings created more Creator beings. It's kind of like family, and so on and so on. But the younger Creator beings, if I could call them that, they sometimes were not as focused, as precise, as thorough. And this is where the fall began. There was mutations, distortions in the creations. And it was not seen at the beginning. And those creations and distortions, mutations, created on their own. They started to have a life of their own. And they replicated and continued. And in that process, it got to a point where finally it was noticed. And those mutations, we know mutations as fear and anger, resentment, slavery, domination, incest, rape, etc. Those are the mutations. But those are how we understand them. So in a process, something very specific occurred where the kind of the wiser, the older beings, if you would, really went to the Creator, and they basically, Creator said something very simple. It's, here's a line, and if you wish to create, because I'm never going to undo creation, you want to create with my light, you create right on this side of the line, and everything is available to you. But if you wish to create in your own image, then the light of the Creator is not available to support you. And many of those beings loved their creations, and they continued and continued, and ultimately we wound up being here. But as that fall of consciousness affected the earth and humanity, it even had more interesting ripples and repercussions. So, would you like me to continue?
Well, I'd imagine that the Creator beings would include the Anunnaki and the Elohim. Is that correct?
It does include the Elohim. The Anunnaki are too small on the list.
Okay, and how do reptilians fit into this equation?
Way too small on the list of discussion. Way too small.
Mm-hmm.
So all of those things exist, but they exist within the mutations. You see, there's let me put it in this context. This physicalness that we know, as absolutely remarkable as it is, and as, you just keep looking beyond into infinity, and as they use those telescopes and they keep looking further and further out for the edge of the universe, You know, they're all now beginning to recognize there's probably not just one universe, and there's clearly more than one dimension. But in that context, physicalness, what we know as physicalness, which requires a geometry, physicalness is like a single grain of sand in the universe's grandest desert. There is so much beyond physicalness that physicalness is like a grain of sand in all that is. But we only know what we know, and so we get to play right here where we only know. But see, this is the part where as you begin to think with the heart and get out of the engaging with the concepts of that reptilians and the Illuminati, and they are very real. But when you give them your attention, you give them your power. And as long as you keep feeding them with your power, you continue to play in the same game. You don't never get out of your own experience within that game.
Well, I completely agree, but you know, on Inside D, I'm reaching a wide range of people. Some people are just starting their journeys through truth seeking, and that in itself is a part of the awakening process for many people. So I don't want to turn my back on these people and say, well, you know, you're on your own. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, of course.
You know, I don't want to leave anyone behind on this amazing trip that we're on. So in some aspects, I have to allow them to be able to experience what this whole truth-seeking journey is about and to stand up through their activism or whatever it is that they decide to do and to eventually, hopefully, come to the realization for what many of us already know is that it all leads to a greater part of the awakening and that there's really nothing that's going to be bad that's going to surface out of this whole ordeal. We really control our destiny.
You do, and that's why you do what you do and I do what I do in the puzzle pieces that we each hold. And so there's nothing ever in broken, but there are experiences to be had that don't yield results and continue that replication over and over and over. And even though we have stepped into a fifth dimensional consciousness, and even more so, that third dimensional consciousness no longer exists. And that's a very big statement. We can talk about that if you want to talk about that. But basically, in this fifth dimensional consciousness, when you begin to hold your attention there, there's only well-being. Words like trust or survival or safety, let's trust and safety, they don't even exist in the fifth dimension. The reason is there's nothing to distrust and there's nothing unsafe. So if you can consider that as a little marker to measure where one is in their evolution, and you find yourself in fear and argument and justification, rationalizing and many of those other words, you may have an awareness of fifth dimension, but you're not in fifth dimension. And see, nobody ever gets kicked out of fifth dimension. It's like a hot air balloon that rises up and rises up, and as you keep dropping the excess weight, it continues to rise up. But if you choose to argue for your limitations, and you choose to hang on to judgments and resentments and rights and wrongs, those are very heavy densities that will not allow you to rise up any further than that level. And other days, you may be in a great space, but the moment you change your attention point to resentment or judgment, you just simply fall right out of that fifth dimensional vibrational field.
I would totally agree. Now, I get a lot of questions about the difference between the third, fourth, and fifth dimensions. Now, the way I see it, just envision a line on a piece of paper. So the first dimension is the line. The second dimension is the line's length. The third dimension is the depth of the line. For example, it might be a cylinder or a tube where it would have height, length, and depth. And the fourth dimension is where time doesn't exist, but we're still trapped in a third dimensional construct of time thanks to the Gregorian calendar, which gives us a work week, and the innovation of clocks, which keep us trapped within this third dimensional construct of time. So right now we're heading into space-time, which basically enmeshes the third dimensional construct of time with nonlinear time. And that would explain kind of like the time speeding up phenomenon. So once we hit the fifth dimension, time is non-existent. it's similar to like our dream state where you never look at a clock or have an idea of what day it is. It's where thoughts become manifestations, and we're starting to see that already. So can you explain to our N5D family how you see the differences between the third, fourth, and fifth dimensions?
Well, that all may be part of it, but that's way too complicated. It is. It's too intellectual, and it's way too complicated, but it's not inaccurate.
Simplify it for us. Okay.
All right, let me try to do that. So,
okay.
Let's consider each one of these dimensions as a box. And inside the box, there are certain rules and structures to play in that box. In the third dimensional space, there are a number of structures. One of those structures is linear time, past, present, future, and then you die. Time is an application. It is not a constant. But in that space where we have all grown up, we've only known what we've known, and we haven't known what we don't know. And so linear time is one of those specific constants. The third dimension is conditional. There is nothing unconditional. Unconditional love, unconditional appreciation starts in a fourth dimensional box, of which you live in simultaneously with that third dimensional box. But it's partly how time works that dictates how the game plays out for you. Because most people in this mass consciousness, even though time is past, present, future, and then you die, most people spend very, very, very little time in present time. And when somebody in third dimension gets into present time, it's usually a reactionary present time. So what I mean by that is we look into our past, and in a way we hope what happened to me when I was a kid doesn't happen to me when I get older. And they told me in my past if I would do X, then I would be successful in my future. And so one of the things that we do, if you pay attention at all, and you have to be in present time to pay attention, is we spend far more of our attention in worrying about and hoping things don't happen or do happen based on some preconceived concepts that we created in the past. So what happens is, in keeping it simple, they told me I wasn't okay. They laughed at me, I was humiliated, I was embarrassed, they told me I was stupid, I would never fit in, I would never amount to anything. And in that present time moment where that occurred, one of the things that we all do is, to some extent, we ask a very fundamental question, why are you saying that to me? But that's not how the question is generally phrased when it happens, because we're not wise enough, mature enough, old enough. We haven't had enough information to play with. So when the teacher says to you, what's wrong with you? How come you're so stupid? Or your parent says to you, how come you got one wrong on that test? You come home and you say, I got a 99, and the parent says, you got one wrong. In those processes, something very fundamental happens inside you. You know, you've got this spiritual body, mental body, emotional body, physical body. Let's just assume that to be the case. You've got many more bodies, but just for this purpose. Something very fundamental happens, and I'm defining this third dimensional space. So let me say something that is very important in a person's evolution, and it is understanding that thoughts are electrical and emotions are magnetic. Very important piece of information, but whatever that means is where it fits in right now. But you know those big junkyard cranes that you see out in that pick up buses and trucks and cars and squish them in that place? That junkyard crane holds a block of steel that has magnetic properties but is not a magnet. But if you take an electrical wire and you wrap it around it one time and plug it in, you create a weak magnetic field. If you wrap that wire around that block of steel 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times, you create a very powerful magnet. So here's what happens. So Greg, you and I walk down the street, I'm walking down the street, and somebody looks, comes up to me, and they say, I'm making it a very simple story, you have a funny nose. What happens is I'm in my spiritual space. I'm happy. I'm being very much in my balanced space. What I do is I have a thought. What did they mean by that? But immediately I drop into my emotional body and I have a feeling. This doesn't feel very good. And then I have another thought. This isn't good. Does that mean people won't like me? I'm not okay. I'm not going to fit. I'll never get a girlfriend, et cetera, et cetera. And we wind those thoughts around that. Are you following me so far? We wind all of those thoughts in that process. And as we wind those thoughts, we wind up creating something that doesn't feel very good. But the more we think it, the more we create a powerful magnet. What's wrong with me? Can I be this not attractive, etc.? In that process of creating that magnet, we wind up being very uncomfortable in our reality. We simply walk around with this thing that doesn't feel very good. But eventually we do two things. We decide, I can't handle this, so I'm going to put it over here into a little box called denial. And then it's gone. Well, in real terms, it's not gone. And so I keep noticing it. Then I make another decision that I'm going to put you back here on the shelf in unconsciousness. And if you will never come out and bite me in the butt again, I'll never go anywhere near where you originated from. So what happens is you put this I'm not okay into your unconsciousness, and then you carry it around. And have you ever seen somebody like that? You say, hi, how are you? And they say, oh, I'm fine. But in fact, their I'm fine and their words and their energy field don't match. And so in the third dimension, what happens is we carry around a lot of stuff that was never true and never had very much to do with us, if anything at all. But so what happens is I grow up, and I was told I was stupid in school, and I wasn't attractive, and I was never going to amount to anything. And I can't deal with that, so I keep putting it into my unconsciousness. But it's like wearing a pair of shoes that are three sizes too small, or a shirt that doesn't fit. So in that third dimensional box, we are constantly, unconsciously and consciously, looking into our past and hoping it doesn't occur again in our future. So that, but what happens is the law of attraction is flawless. And the law of attraction simply says, I, the universe who adore you, will provide for you whatever you ask for. But see, the universe doesn't understand English and French and Spanish and German. What the universe understands is your vibrational field that you hold in your emotional and mental body. And so if I'm walking around with I'm not okay, the universe sees me the next morning and says, oh, hi, Jim, nice to see you waking up. What adventure would you like today? I see you're in the same creative state of not okay. You must love this game because you keep waking up every morning in it. So I'll give you another variation on the theme. Is this making any sense?
Oh, definitely. And it's like when you were saying, you know, you have a funny nose. You know, from a psychological perspective, most people are usually reflecting their own insecurities. But unfortunately, we end up internalizing what they said. And what people have a hard time seeing is that we're beautiful and perfect just the way we are.
Yes, but what see, this is now, let's finish the third and fourth and fifth dimension. So in that third dimensional space, it is conditional. There's nothing unconditional. It is very driven by that linear time structure, and it deals with resistance. And there's a lot of structures in here that are man-made rules that are good and bad and right and wrong and should and shouldn't. So think about that. How much of your life is structured around good, bad, right, wrong, and should and shouldn't? If you were to take those words out of your space, let's play a game here. If I was to just tap you on the head with a magic wand, you never heard those words, you never had any experience or history of those words, would you live your life differently? And I've never found anybody who would say, no, I like being ugly and mean and rude and having those experiences. So the answer is no. So, but let me add to it. So I say, well, if there's no right and wrong, no good and bad, no should and shouldn't, Greg, I want you to go out and murder somebody. And you're going to say, well, no, I can't do that. Well, why not? Well, it's not right. No, no, there is no right. Well, it's not good. No, there's no good. So why wouldn't you do that? And the answer is because in my heart, it is not appropriate. It is an inappropriate, misaligned vibrational field with who I am.
So that's kind of tied up with the universal law. That's kind of tied up with the universal laws, though, too, isn't it? What the universe says is just and right, we kind of have to follow internally.
Well, what is just and right is what's internally. It's not what you follow, and it's not what the universe says in a way in that context. It's really, who are you? Who are you? This is who I am. Well, are you going to murder somebody? No, I am not that person. This is who I am. And so let's just jump to the fifth dimension for a moment here. So if I said to you, let's run out a series of words, ugly, mean, rotten, etc., or how about well-being, beauty, graciousness, integrity, well-being, respect, gratitude, kindness, co-creation, cooperation, which list are you going to sign up for? And which list is virtually everybody on the planet going to sign up for? See, that's not some magical list that says, oh, this is what you should do. This is who you are. These are the vibrational fields of that fifth dimension and beyond. It's who you are. But see, there's a transition between fear and that past, future, non-present time space, which is very controlling. You're worrying about money, and you're worrying about status, and you're worrying about fitting in, and all those things, none of which really have much to do with you. And many of your listeners, very wise, they understand how they feel when they go for a walk by a nice stream in the mountains, looking at the snow on a spring day, or having a nice warm breeze, or sitting there looking into somebody's eyes that they really enjoy being with. That's who you are. That doesn't exist in the third dimension. Now, so you have those experiences, but not in the third dimension.
So that's kind of like connecting with your higher self, where everything is coming direct from source, where you don't have these lower third dimensional emotions and energies and vibrations.
Correct. Very correct.
Mm-hmm.
And so, so, but there's a transition between that third dimensional box and a fifth dimensional box, just keeping our story simple. And that's called the fourth dimension. But the fourth dimension is very temporary, and it has very specific opportunity. It's really a stepping stone. But it also has some snags to it also. So the fourth dimension, see, in third dimension, time is past and future to a great extent. But in fourth dimension, you have present time. And in fourth dimension, right where we are right now, this is really fourth dimension. We're not worrying about yesterday or tomorrow. We're really right here having a conversation in present time. The great advantage of getting into present time, which is the only place you really are to create, is you create another concept. In the third dimension, you don't have choice. You have reaction. In the fourth dimension is where choice appears. Now, remember I said you live in third and fourth all the time. So in this fourth dimensional box, you have choice. So you can see something ugly and you can choose to put your finger in that light socket or not, where in the third dimension you just react and go into anger or resentment or judgment. But in the fourth dimension, you have present time, you have choice, and you have a very important word called paradox. And paradox simply means what was true a moment ago may not be true right now, and what was false a moment ago may not be false right now. Because, see, in the third dimension, what you have is, well, in third grade, she was dishonest, and now I see her for the first time when she's now 30 years old, and I say, oh, you're dishonest. And so you're still labeling somebody by some past event without even knowing who they are in that moment, even though you haven't seen them in 30 years. And we do those things. Third dimensional folks in that unconscious of being unconscious live in that space of judgment and holding those opinions. In a fourth dimensional space, that woman who broke your heart at 20 years old, stole from you, embarrassed you, humiliated you, she was the love of your life, and yet she crushed you, and when you said, why are you doing this? She said, because you're stupid, I never loved you anyway, and I'm walking out of here with your money, goodbye. And you're devastated. And people have found themselves in those kind of states with certain kind of people. Now, 20 years later, you open your door one day because now Greg and Jim are wiser and they're much more of a fifth dimensional person. And you open the door and there she is staring at you. Your first reaction, note the word reaction, is a third dimensional space potentially where it's like, what are you doing on my front porch? But that higher fourth, fifth dimensional person would simply say, I remember who you were, but hello, nice to see you. How might I help you? At that moment, she bursts into tears, says, I have been so devastated all my life because I was so much in fear and I was so dishonest and disrespectful and you were the love of my life and I was afraid and I didn't know what to do and I ran. What do you do with that person? Do you go, well, you were a bitch then, and so I'm not going to even give you any of my forgiveness. Get out of here. Or do you say, that must have been very hard. Come on in and have a cup of tea with me. Mm-hmm. The very different realities you perceive in as you begin to step into these higher dimensional vibrational fields within the heart.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating. Jim, I'd love to talk more about present time and living in the now, but I see we have a caller from area code 978. 978, you are on the air right now. Hi. Are you there? 978. Hello? Can't hear ya. Going once. Going twice. What I would suggest, 978, is maybe rebooting and calling us back because you're breaking up. Okay, so I'm gonna put you on mute right now, but you're not coming in. You're not coming in at all. Okay. Okay, Jim, I have a question for you. All right, I'm a procrastinator. Now, being a procrastinator doesn't mean that one is lazy. It simply means that we prioritize things differently. I don't like schedules or being confined by anything. Basically, I'm a free spirit. Now, many of you know the long hours I work every day in 5D, 365 days a year. But many people don't know that I procrastinate on things that have less relevance and importance to what needs to be done right now. So, what does procrastination have to say about living in the moment, and how important is living in the now?
Well, that kind of is you're not living in the now necessarily if you are not able to make decisions. Now, procrastination is simply, I don't want to make a decision. I'm just going to keep putting this off. I'm not going to deal with it. But living in the now and deciding that I'm not going to deal with this is a decision. You see, there's always a decision. No decision is a decision. But when it's done in procrastination, which I would suspect you probably aren't a procrastinating person because you're really capable of what you do, is you probably simply say, I'm in my priority list. I don't do that. But if you do it consciously and intentionally, that's one set of things in a present time decision. If you do it by default and not paying attention because you don't want to pay attention, that's not being focused and precise about your life. That's not taking charge. And really, that's not being in the present moment. But if you make a decision that says, all right, I understand there's consequences to not paying my rent this month, but I would really rather go out doing something else with my money, no problem. There will be consequences, but you've made a clear decision. If it's like, well, I don't want to pay my rent today, then there's clear consequences also, but they may be not from the standpoint of a result that you want.
Well, I'm always looking at what is the most important thing right now. And that's it. You know, what happens 2 months down the road is inconsequential. Doesn't matter.
Well, I don't know whether I would agree with you there. See, a creator is somebody who creates in the present time moment. And you can't create in the past, nor can you create in the future. And so once you get into the present moment, you can literally rearrange your past completely, because I'll guarantee it never happened the way you think it happened. And you can influence your future very specifically in spite of what has been done in the past when you get into present time. But in the present time, a creator is someone who simply says, here's what's going on around me, and here's what I would like to experience in the future. So, for example, if you said, I want to go to Hawaii, and I'd really like to enjoy the dolphins in Kalakuhua Bay in March, you might want to ask somebody, rather than just deciding you're going to go, you might ask somebody if the dolphins are in Kalakuhua Bay in March. You also might decide that rather than waiting for March because the airplane is fully booked and all the hotels are booked and then you don't go, that's a moment decision. I want to go in March. But if you make the decision starting in maybe December or November that here's what I'd like to do, in this present time moment, you pick up the phone and call the airlines. You pick up the phone and call the hotel. In the next present time moment tomorrow, you make another phone call. By the time the present time moment comes in March about going to Hawaii, you just simply have packed your bags the night before and you pick up your bag, walk out the door, get on the airplane, go to the hotel and enjoy the dolphins in Kalakuhua Bay with no interruption in your creation.
Mm-hmm. Now I see that 978 called back again, so we're going to try bringing 978 area code back online. Still not hearing you. Is anyone else hearing this? I just hear like a boop, boop. Yeah, there's something going on. I don't know if it's your microphone or your connection, but you're not coming through 978. Sorry. Okay. All right. So we're going to
good attempt.
Move on. Yeah, we appreciate that. excuse me. So if anyone does have a call, feel free to call us at 646-716-8890. Okay, now a lot of people are talking about how time is speeding up. According to Damian Brinkley, he says that time isn't necessarily speeding up, but our consciousness is. And Ian Lungold believed that the whole time speeding up phenomenon is attributed to there being more of creation available in less time. What can you tell us about the time speeding up phenomenon?
Time is slowing down. Now, I'm not being funny, so let me explain how time works.
Okay.
So let's say you go for a walk every day of your life. You walk from your house to the store every day. And you can basically do that walk in your sleep, and it takes 5 minutes. And every day you walk, and it's just completely comfortable. You arrive in 5 minutes. But when time begins to slow down, because time is moving into the now moment, which doesn't have any time to it, time slows down. It's slowing down into that singular point. What happens now is you go for your walk the next day, and as you're walking, you begin to have a sense that something's not quite right. And then over the next few weeks, as time is slowing down, in order to get from point A to point B, you have to speed up because time is slowing down, and in order to get that same distance, you have to walk faster. And then it slows down a little bit more, so you have to walk faster to make it into that same space. And it slows down a little bit more, and now you're running every day to get there. So what happens internally in the internal cadence in the body is as it's slowing down, you have a sense that I have to go faster in order to accomplish what I need to accomplish. I mean, look at your day. You sit down many times, you get up in the morning, and you're falling in bed now, and you go, what happened to this day? It's because it's slowing into a singular present moment, which it already has, but because of our habits and our beliefs, We haven't recognized it yet. But as it slows down and slows down, in order for you to get to that point, where that store where you walk, you have to hurry up every day and go faster and faster. And so this has been going on for a long time. But as it gets into the present now moment, this whole process is going to begin to be perceived very differently as you begin to breathe in the present moment and begin to determine how would I like to experience myself. So your earlier question about procrastination as a concept, where time is slowing down into the moment, is really what keeps people now, as I watch thousands of people, we have this conversation often, is they're becoming bored, they have more on their plate than they did yesterday, so they're having to hurry up, that's that time speeding up or slowing down piece, but yet inside they are really not engaged in a lot of the things that they used to be engaged in. But what happens is, I've gone through my whole day, and I can't even tell you what happened in my day, but I'm now falling in bed again. Have you had that experience? Okay. So let me ask you another experience. Let me ask you the third part of the question, though. So I used to do this a lot, you know, I ask the question in the audience, anybody knows time going faster? Everybody groans and raises their hand. Anybody notice you have more on your plate than you did yesterday? People all groan and raise their hand. How many of you are losing your memory? And almost now everybody raises their hand, even the kids. So what is that about? And it's about something very, very specific in the context of your question. What is happening is, remember those ugly things that we talked about at the beginning where I'm not okay, I'm not attractive, I'm not smart? A lot of times you've had experiences, those ones where I just dealt with somebody that told a joke in a girl in the sophomore year in high school, and she told it to all her friends. And you know what sophomore girls in high school are like in terms of they're all trying to figure out their position in their bodies and all those wonderful things that go on, but sometimes they're not very kind to one another. Mm-hmm. And in this case, this girl told what joke she thought was funny, and they all turned around and said, "How stupid is that?" And they laughed at her, not with her. In that 1 second, this woman's life was completely transformed into another direction. She was embarrassed, humiliated, lost her space, didn't know what to do, and from that moment on could not talk to those girls. Now, to figure out, all those that are listening, you have your own story that fits there somewhere. One of the things that happens is most of those things, that one was very intense in her space, but we have those experiences all through our growing up period, whether it's being told you're not smart, you're not attractive, you're never going to succeed, fill in the blank. But what happens is, that is simply somebody else's bad lifetime being expressed to you one moment. You see, you can't be not okay. But when somebody else, an adult, another person, simply says, "Here's my opinion, that dress you are wearing is really ugly, and you just spent a lot of money on it and you love it," what somebody else thinks of you is none of your business. Your business is about your business. But what happens is we internalize those comments that others make, and we begin to shape our life with them. So where you're losing your memory right now is really quite a wonderful place, because an awful lot of those thoughts that you hold and experiences that you think you had and did have don't belong to you. You've just simply accepted somebody else's comment, you're not okay, and then you walked around with it, remember that electromagnetic field, and trying to make sense out of something that somebody says, "What do you mean I have a funny nose? It works perfectly for me." And then we put it into unconsciousness and we are lesser. We never go back to that state of that spiritual excitement that we once had before somebody told you you were not okay. The great part about time collapsing into the moment is that your memories that don't belong to you don't belong to you, and they are being cleared away. The universe is being very generous at this point in time. And the soul is simply clearing out what has nothing to do with you that is stored in your memory bank, which is quite a wonderful thing, although it is confusing to some.
You mentioned time collapsing into the moment. Is that similar to what Terence McKenna called the singularity?
Yes.
Okay. Now, here's something. When I go to the beach, I take a walk every day. I do what I call a walk of gratitude, where I walk down to the end where there's a seawall, and I thank the Creator, the universe, my spirit guides and guardian angels, our friends and family on both sides of the veil, our galactic friends and neighbors, and Mother Earth. And I go through each one about what I'm grateful for. And as I'm walking down to that seawall and when I'm walking back, every person I pass, I envision them as being part of my family. And inside, I'm saying, I love you to them. And just putting that thought out there. So what is the importance of where we place our thoughts?
Everything.
Mm-hmm.
Everything about this transition is how you think and how you hold an emotion related to that thought. Everything is about that. And so what would happen if you said out loud, hello, nice to see you? What would happen if you took that inside thought and turned it into an expression?
Would there be a difference on an energetic level?
What do you think?
If you said that thoughts are electrical, so if thoughts are electrical, then no, it wouldn't make a difference because it's that energy that's being emitted, whether it's through the thought or through the vocal words of saying it.
Correct. But can you express it in such a way that it turns into a vibration that is not only from the heart, but when you say hello to somebody with a smile, there is a vibrational resonance on a physical expression, present time level, that simply comes back. Hello is the most powerful word on the planet. Hello. Nobody can hide from a hello. Some may not like it, but nobody hides from it. And when it's said with a smile in the heart, it is a very powerful resonance that simply allows a thought construction to be amplified into a higher vibration. So, yeah, it's a great thing
hard.
That you do.
Well, thank you. And you're right. It's kind of hard to walk by somebody, and they're smiling, and they're saying hello to you. It's kind of hard to frown and say, hi, you know, and just let it go at that, you know, and be all grumpy or whatever. But, you know, so what I'm thinking also, yeah, and I definitely agree that thoughts are electrical, but when you add the smile and you add the words of just saying hello, it's just only magnifying. It's not that it's any less, but it actually can create something maybe a little bit more to the whole energy that's going on.
Certainly. And a lot of times what happens is you can be walking along in a great space, vibrating a great space, but what happens is that person's not seeing that great space because they're in a lesser space.
Uh-huh.
And so many times a smile and a hello has a tendency to raise somebody into present time and brings them up into a space where they will respond with a hello. And so you alter their reality, which is a lesser reality, let's keep that simple, right, where they're walking and not paying attention many times, and you simply alter that reality. You know, you feel generally pretty good when somebody says hello to you and you smile back and go, hey, nice to see you. It just creates an uplifting within the vibrational field.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that. You're vibrating in a great space. That's another thing that I do when I go for these walks is I envision this huge bubble around me, and that anybody that comes into my bubble, they're just like filled with love. You know, I'll hear the thing I hear the most when I'm walking the beach and I see people walking by me and I hear you overhear some of the conversations. They're always talking about stress-related stuff. Here they are in this beautiful environment, and they're talking about money and bills and their jobs and everything like that. And I'm creating this huge love bubble, just trying to. And I'm hoping that it's making some kind of difference on an energetic level.
Well, it is, but in real terms, and this is the same reason why aren't you experiencing the Creator at the level the Creator plays at in all things? Why is it that we are not experiencing the presence of the archangels, or even the great beings, or even the Palladians and the Syrians and all of these really tremendous beings that have a little higher vibrational field? Why don't we experience them? Because we don't raise our vibration up to match them. They'll sit there and they'll tell you day in and day out, minute by minute, we are absolutely in love and we are holding this space for you and with you. We're completely surrounding you. The only one who's not here is you and a person. And so it's the same thing where you walk down the beach holding that great vibration, they can't see it or have it. They're too busy in their third dimensional problem. If you listen to people, they talk about their problems. That's what we do in third dimension. And we talk about other people. What happens if you didn't talk about other people? What happens if you just made a decision, I'm going to not say anything about anybody else for a day and just simply walk in that space? And when the opportunity arises, just simply smile and either step away or change the subject. See, when you take charge of yourself, procrastination comes back into the question, and you begin to become the creative being in present time, life emanates from you, within you, through you. You also begin to raise that higher vibration to where as you begin to play in the new chakra system, which isn't new, but it has really been, it's kind of new, these chakras vibrate in, they spin like tornadoes, and they create these higher, faster vibrational fields. And when you can raise your energy up and begin to hold it in that present time higher field of well-being or respect or appreciation or just simply quiet kindness, you begin to resonate with that field. And as you play more in that field intentionally, you don't fall out of that field as often. And it begins to be a very different thing. But it's about the individual holding the space intentionally.
You were just mentioning the new chakra system. How many chakras are in the system?
Well, that's a good question, and it's not the right question. I'm not speaking to your question. What happens is this chakra system or these, it's really beginning to be one with what people mostly intellectually call the unified field. But the unified field is very real. And in that unified field is the ability to hold your attention point in different dimensions, in different realms, in different frequency ranges, in different relationships with energy. The ability to bring that vibrational attention point within the unified field through these chakras is very expansive. See, I'll just give you an example. The fourth chakra, there is a difference, let's call them centers rather than chakras. And there is a center that encompasses the fourth chakra, the thymus center, the thymus gland in the physical body, and the fifth chakra. And when those begin to spin, you start to open up the sacred heart in the etheric body. That is what most people call the astral body. They're two different things. But you begin to access the sacred heart. And it's in the sacred heart that this vortex begins to open up into two more centers that are just very expansive.
What is the difference between the etheric and astral body?
Too complex for this
call. Okay. All right. Now, here's an example, too. And I was wondering about the whole energy thing. You know, and I've done this, and I guarantee there's been a lot of our listeners that have done this too. You might see somebody walking down the street who's crippled or bent over, and you can tell that they're in pain. So you send them positive energy, and you ask your guides and your spirit guides and guardian angels for help. And I guess it's almost kind of like the quantum touch healing or Reiki with that whole energy vibration. What is the idea? You know, is that helping people when you send that positive energy out there, when you ask your guides, when you ask your angels for help? Does that actually help people, do you think?
Do you know what that person's path is? Do you know are they asking you for help?
No, but, you know, I can...
Is there a difference between you wanting to help somebody and a person meddling in somebody else's affairs without asking?
Well, that's a great question, but, you know, as an empath, you can feel the pain that this person's experiencing. And,
no, go ahead.
So that's why I want to reach out and try to help somebody.
But are they asking?
Maybe on a higher level they are. I'm not sure.
See, here's what you know, is you know somebody is standing in front of you that's in pain. And you know that they are in they're having an experience. And what you don't know is you don't know how many lifetimes they have been walking through that particular pathway to stand right in front of you. You don't know that. And you also don't know that if in some cases, let's take the flip side of it, somebody looks at that person and says, oh my God, you are a mess and get out of my life. At the same moment, in regard to your question, so what happens is you just simply say, hello, nice to see you. Is there anything that I can do for you? What you don't know is what your next answer is or how you address them is the single thing they've been looking for lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. And in that particular moment of your gratitude where you're speaking is they simply puff into a ball of golden white light and ascend in that moment. But what happens is that hello becomes so important in terms of seeing somebody and not assuming who they are or what they are or that they need help or that they're even broken. And so sometimes you just simply say, hello, nice to see you, and that's almost enough. But what I watch with lots of healers and particularly people who are waking up and wanting to be a healer and very spiritually aligned is the distinction between fixing and meddling is not clear to them. And so what happens is, you know, in Star Trek, there's a very clear message that's come from the original Star Treks called the Prime Directive. The Prime Directive is not an arbitrary throwaway line that was in Star Trek. It was very well placed because the Prime Directive is part of the Prime Directive, non-interference in other spaces. Jesus spoke it over and over, do not judge. See, so when you don't know where somebody's coming from or where they've been or where they're going, interfering in their space to help them may not be their best opportunity for them. I watch people, for example, dying. And what happens is everybody says, don't die, don't die. All of those wishes for them not to die because I'm going to be uncomfortable if you die is really the message, is like energy put into their space that doesn't let them get out of that body. It's a very challenging thing watching families pleading for somebody not to die. But it's not much different than putting your energy into somebody else's space that is not asking. On the other hand, would you like, can I help you? Would you like hello? Would you like a sandwich? Would you like a dollar? Can I give you a healing? Asking is a maturing process that becomes something that people understand as they grow into their ascension.
Wow, that's some pretty challenging advice for light workers and empaths who want to do everything they can to help make this world a better place, but yet to understand and realize that, you know, maybe I need to step back. Maybe this is the exact experience that this person wants to experience at this moment.
Well, how did they get into that place? Now, see, there's no accidents. And there are no victims. Now, see, this is where a lot of times people will jump up and go, oh, no, I'm a victim. No, there are no victims. You simply choose third dimensionally. Remember I said that word choose doesn't exist in the third dimension. But you, by procrastinating, by avoiding, by not dealing with it, you create a situation that you then inherit a week, a month, a year later. So creator, see, the other part of that is healer, heal thyself. In what I know in the work that I do with thousands of people, where I'm watching people turn that physical body into a crystalline light, they are physically changing. They understand that they have the capacity, once they align with their own well-being in these higher vibrational fields, in these higher dimensions, with these great archangels, the Elohim, the Lords of Light, the Creator, Him, Herself, that as you align in that space, in a physical body, you hold such an enormous intensity of light, as I said at the beginning, wars will end in your presence. That's how powerful you are once it's understood what's possible.
Mm-hmm. Now, okay, now toward the end of last year, you did this fascinating webinar on how the third dimension is going away, and you graciously allowed me to upload it and share it with my 70,000 followers on N5D, the N5D YouTube channel. A lot of people are still trapped in the third dimensional constructs, such as politics, and we're all still living under tyranny and oppression, and you know, a lot of people are going to see it that way. So can you explain to our listeners how the third dimension is going away?
Yes. There are two events that have just occurred in the last couple of years. In the event of 11/11, November 11th, 2011, something very extraordinary happened, and that was an event where people were asked, well, let me frame this differently. In my conversations with the archangels, with the Lords of Light, I live with these beings moment by moment. This is where I get all the information that I have. That's just who I am, not better or worse than anybody else, just how I do it. In that context, Yeshua, Metatron, Michael, Uriel have said over and over, we can tell you about your future. We can tell you the possibilities and the probabilities of each of those possibilities. We know what's possible. We do not have a human body, and it requires a human body to make the transition for all things to happen. You must have a human body to make these changes. And as long as in the past where wars and fighting and judgment, that dense third dimension was existing, there were not many humans that understood what was possible. Now, from 1987 on and even before that, really around 1946, a great wave of great beings came into the planet. In 1987, harmonic convergence, a great wave of consciousness came into the planet. Out of those waves of consciousness, there has always been a very clear desire, and that was to return the Christed light to the planet. Very misunderstood concept because of what religions have done to it. But in November 11, 2011, there were many that gathered and drew through that physical human body that Christed light back onto this planet, and at the same time installed that Christed light into the core of every human being on this planet. That was the first event that had to happen, and it has happened. The second event came on 12/12/12. The third event came on 12/21. On 12/12/12, numbers gathered, and the intention and the purpose was to simply close the door on the third dimensional structure. And on 12/12, that electromagnetic field that very rigidly held together third dimensional reality, was closed. It simply went away. at that moment of 12 minutes after 12 on noon, when that body of work was done, Metatron came forth and said, there will never be another child born from this moment in the third dimension anywhere. And anywhere is in all of physicalness, not just on this planet. Never again will there be a child born. However, all of you who hold bodies, you too will not have that electromagnetic field to lean on anymore. Even though you don't like it, it's what you know. But what you do have is habits and beliefs that it is still here. What you have been given or about to be given will give you an opportunity to change all of that. On 12/21, that event that everybody has talked about for a long time occurred. And what that event was is you were given your freedom. You are free. Now, the good news is you're free. The bad news is you're free. It's like, what the hell do I do with this? How do I deal with this? So what's happening right now, and you're seeing it all over the world, Turkey in particular, you're seeing the earth changes that are now stepping up in this month with the things you're seeing between floods and earthquakes and volcanoes. You'll see more. But simply, we are now in transition from that third dimension, that very rigid past-future reactionary state of consciousness, to one of well-being and beauty, graciousness, kindness, respect, and dignity. That's what we are stepping into. And those vibrations are very present. But let me be really clear about this. Some assembly required. It is not a gift. Oh, it is a gift. But it's not one that you just simply poof into a ball of light and ascend and go about your way. There is a requirement that every single human being participates in their own ascension. And this is, I'll go one more step and I get in trouble with this. This is where it is very challenging for lots of the light workers, many listening to your program right now. The challenge is wannabes. I want to be a light worker. I want to heal. I want to fix. I want to do all these wonderful things for the universe. But healer, heal thyself. Have you sat down and cleared some of your own patterns? Many yes. Have you simply cleared away some of your history, those events that you are holding on to defend yourself, to define yourself? And the answer is no for most. This is a process of evolution, and everyone is required to participate. You are being shown the door. You're being given the instruction of what a doorknob is. You're being given the instruction of how to turn the doorknob, and that the door pulls open or goes forward. And they'll lead you to water, and they'll tell you 100 ways to drink the glass of water. But you must do the work. And that's the thing where right now many of the light workers are having some challenges, because many of their memories are going away. All of their lacks are starting to go away. But because freedom has been provided, I don't know what to do. And I don't know how to be in charge of myself. It's one of the things that many of the light workers are running into.
So how are the floods, earthquakes, and volcanoes part of the process and evolution of ourselves and the planet?
We're in transition. That's mm-hmm. a simple word. We are in transition. So think about it. If you have you've seen a magnet over a piece of paper, and you take paper clips, and you can kind of build them into a little pyramid shape, or you can raise them up. That magnetic field will hold all those paper clips. The minute the magnetic field is pulled away, what happens to the paper clips? They all fall down. What's happening right now is there is no more magnetic field. The third dimension's magnetic structure of great density has been removed. Now, mm-hmm. many will argue with that. I'm just simply telling you what I know. Mm-hmm. And in that process, as those magnetic fields begin to be pulled away from you, your reliance on lack, or how we position ourselves. I'm a vice president of a company. I have a trophy husband-wife. I drive a Porsche. I do all these things. I have my identity built in such a way. But as that magnetic field has been withdrawn, all of those external things have very little to do with that space where that appropriate set of actions occur within the heart, where that smile lives. See,
okay.
Many are being transitioned, and it's not a comfortable transition because it's requiring us to look inside.
Now the Earth goes through all these changes that happen on a regular basis. So I'm wondering if a magnetic or physical pole shift is part of this process.
It is not.
Okay. That's good to know. Getting back to the third dimension, fading away, what specifically will happen to those people who are stuck in negativity, or as you mentioned, you know, habits and beliefs, and to the political leaders who have kept us living in tyranny and oppression?
Transition. Everything is in transition. Now, you might also do some research here. And how I would suggest you do research is go back and look at pick Sarasota County. That's where you live. I think that's the county. And pick two other counties in different parts of the United States and go back and look at the death records over the last 15 years. And you will see not population gains, just even in static counties, you will see the death rate increasing year over year over year. But in the last 2 years, the death rate has significantly increased. And the reason for that is very, very simple, although this is one of those that I can't prove to anybody, is simply it's as if there are many people that are wrapped up in their stuff. You know, if my daughter had only married that one instead of this one, and if my husband had done this instead of done that, and if my wife had simply done this, and you know the message, you know the story, blame and those kind of things. Energy is a very interesting thing. When you simply blame somebody, it's like you throw a little piece of your energy over into their space. You give yourself away. This is why Yeshua says, don't judge. You give yourself away. And it gets to a point now where many people, and I want to say older people, but it's not just older people, are so wound up. It's like playing that game Twister, and all of a sudden somebody says, wait, I have to go pee. It's like, well, no, you can't do that. I'm so wound up in my game, many have said. I would love to go on this journey as a soul. I'm very conscious of it. But in this physical body, I am so wound up in he said, she said, that I cannot attract my energy back quick enough to rise up with the ascension that is unfolding on the planet. And you're seeing many people just check out. They cannot stay in the new energetic fields. They're leaving. And there's nothing wrong with that. Yes, yeah. Because they're going to the finish line, buying their hot dog and rooting everybody else on. Everybody is going home.
Yeah, I see it the same way. You know, we're seeing a whole transition. And like you said, you know, all these children that are being born after, was it 11-11? Or was it 12-12? All the children. Right. All these children that are being born after that date don't have this whole third-dimensional construct kind of karma thrown at them anymore. And, you know, there's a whole new energy that's coming in as this older energy that, you know, is kind of a little belligerent and stuck in their ways is leaving. We're getting infused with this new energy, and it's really uplifting the planet.
Yes, that's correct.
Now, you said that part of your mission is to make your material as easily understandable to as many people as possible, and that is no small task. And I think you're doing an amazing job by simplifying quantum events into something that everyone can understand. So how can people make everyday decisions in their life without fear and uncertainty?
Well let me say it a couple of ways. That's exactly what the tools of Mastering Alchemy are all about. And I will not sell these. I will not sell this. I won't take the opportunity right here to go, here, let me tell you how wonderful this course is. I don't sell this course. I just simply make all this available. So I'll make it available this way. In about 2001, Archangel or Metatron came and said, we believe that there is a pathway that has never, ever been walked. And we would like to work with you and make this available, if you'll work with us, to bring this forth for two particular reasons. For the ascension of every single human being on this planet, and for opening the door so all of mass consciousness can step much more easily into fifth dimension and beyond. Would you like to play with us? Well, you don't say, well, you know, I don't know, I got lunch appointment today to Metatron. So in that year, this body of work began to unfold. And the level one class is about something that you gave up a long time ago, reactivating the personal power field within you to make you a singularly sustainable being of consciousness on your own energy. See, some of the things that people don't know is there used to be a geometric container around your aura. But in the fall of consciousness and the lack of attention in or the focus in the past and the future, your present time structure got simply dissipated. And so that octahedron, that four-sided pyramid on the top, four-sided pyramid on the bottom, used to be the containment field and an antenna, simple word, within the heart that allowed you to be very consciously connected to where you came from at a particular level. And so putting that field back in place, spinning that octahedron, bringing that field of light up to 90% of the speed of light, and then beginning to live, go into the sacred heart and find that space connecting all those dots, that's level one in abbreviated format. But that next course, 6 months long of level two, is beginning to know yourself. And it's knowing yourself in a way that allows you to disengage from the noise, the dramas, all of the fears that everybody else has. Because as I said earlier, you can't be not okay. You have always been okay, but you've just assumed everybody else's opinion about you growing up and then tried to figure out why they said that. Let it go. And their tools to let it go are right in there. And so you raise your vibration up and you begin to not go to the noise and you stay within this geometric field and you basically define the edge of your aura from everything from the edge to you is who you are and everything that's outside the edge of your aura is Shakespeare's theater to entertain you. When you begin to have that concept, you start to have a whole different perspective on the noise, the dramas, the games, and you step out of them fairly quickly. From that point on in that level three class, once a week, every week, Yeshua, Metatron, Uriel, Gabriel, Zadkiel, and myself will simply walk you through your ascension to the point where right now there are people that are turning their physical body into a crystalline physical light. And it's quite remarkable to watch. So that's what I do. Mm-hmm. It's masteringalchemy.com.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah, definitely check that out, folks. And right below this, you'll see a link to Jim's website. So, yeah, definitely check that out. Go ahead.
I might also just say here, for those who are interested in that 3D going away piece, there is a free e-book that sits there that says The Shift. Very simple book explaining third, fourth, fifth dimension, the shift, how it affects you, and some of these things I just got done saying. It's free on our website, right on the front homepage.
Mm-hmm. So definitely check out the link that's right below this. Give that a click and check out Jim's work, definitely. Now, I wrote an article on N5D called So Your Spiritual Awakening Cost You Some Friends, and it's one of the most viewed articles on N5D because we can all relate to losing somebody that we were once close to, whether that's a family member, a best friend, or a spouse. What's happening right now in the world of relationships, and does this shift have any relevance on how relationships are evolving?
It has complete 100% relevance. The shift, look, relationship is the toughest single game on the planet. It is the game on the planet. It's your relationship not only to one another, but to everything. How you interact in your environment, how you have relationship to, which structures your point of reference. How you have relationship to emotions. Somebody like yourself is empathetic. Can you distinguish between what is your feeling and what is somebody else's feeling? And that's a very big question, and most cannot. And so a lot of times emotions we run through our bodies aren't even our bodies, aren't even our emotions. So relationship, when it becomes, you know, husband, wife, mother, father, child, son type of relationship, daughter, those are really tough relationship issues. One of the things that's happening is everybody is being affected by the shift. The energies are all rising. Many people are waking up at different intervals and different levels. And so where last week you were really good buddies with somebody and you went drinking at the bar every night and this was your life, and all of a sudden you find this sense of your own awakening. And all of a sudden that's not interesting to you anymore. And you don't hang out with them anymore. And pretty soon you forget about them in a way. You haven't seen them for 6 months, but they were your best friend just the other day. That's happening. But consciously, light workers, people who are spiritually waking up, it's important to know that's going to happen. You are going to lose your friends. But that doesn't mean you don't have to like them or they don't like you. You're just going to drift away from them. You've done it all your life. You've had friends, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, where did Sally go? I haven't seen her for months. You just simply begin to walk on your path. Three things happen. Some people don't like it, and they're going to pull at your ankles and try to bring you back into that space because you are making me uncomfortable by all this talk and this change that you're going through. And that's a challenge, and you just have to walk away. There are others that simply will say in a much greater way, I don't want to be around you. And the reason is you are beginning to be so bright and you're beginning to hold what I want more than anything in life, and I can't unravel myself to get there. So I'd rather kill you off so I don't have to be in the pain of what I want and I can't have. That's the second group. They're few and far between, but they're there. The third group is the one that you're going to be amazed by, and it's happening more and more. And that's the one that just sees you because you're starting to vibrate in these light frequencies and in this brightness, and you're starting to walk around in kindness and gratitude and appreciation. And they're going to come up to you and say, you know, I really don't want anything except, can I just rub up against you? I just want to be in this same energy you are, and can I just stand by you? And you're going to smile and say, of course, come walk with me. And you're going to find your power to influence those around you to become great as you simply stand in your own graciousness. And welcome to the shift and welcome to your ascension, because that's exactly what I just told you.
So the second group has an issue with the changes in energies, while the third group resonates with those changes.
Correct.
Okay. You know, and I, the way I see it too, you know, as I put in this article, the author is unknown, but the poem goes, it's for a season, a reason, or a lifetime. And I'm sure everybody's seen that at one point in their life, that people do come in for these, either a season, a reason, or a lifetime. And it can be a little sad on a third dimensional level. But what I was wondering is, do you end up hooking back up with your friends and these other people that we loved at one point once we enter the fifth dimension? In other words, does it become a differently kind of evolved relationship at that point?
Not necessarily. It's just like anything else. It's, you know, you had a best friend in fourth grade. And now you see them 10 years later, 20, 30, 40 years later, you know, there's no longer any matching pictures. There's no longer any vibrational resonance. They're on their path, and you're on your path. And that's all there is to it. And you know, the game, when you go into, as you get into these higher levels, all kinds of very interesting things happen, but you're on your path. all of the people that you participate with have come into your life as just part of your path. You know, it's really a fascinating thing when you start to look at some of the people that you hate the most or you've had the most challenge with in this lifetime. In fact, they're your best soulmates, best friends, best partners in the soul community where you come from. You know, what happens is you say to them, you know, I've never been punched in the nose. And they say, wow, I've never punched anybody in the nose. And you go, whoa, this is going to be great. Let's go down into that body and play that game out. And you do. But when you get into the body, the game isn't as fun as it is when you are creating it in the first place. Or you simply say to your best one, I have had all of these issues in my life, and many of them are in my past lives, and my issues have not been resolved. And in this lifetime, I need to clean up my act. And some of these things are not very pleasant, and I really need you to help me. So would you be the mother that I hate, that I can learn to love because I can? And she says, yes, I'll be happy to do that. And you come into the body and you have all these traumas and dramas, and yet at some point, particularly now, because a lot of that's been cleaned away, there is no karma. Karma does not exist at this point. Your habits and your beliefs and the opportunity to simply forgive and step out is very much part of your freedom right now. But that's your habits. And so if you can begin to let go of those and start to manage your energy field and raise your energy and own your own personal power, very simple, you begin to recognize, I don't have to play this game anymore. And then you begin to recognize something even more wonderful, Greg. And what happens is, you know, I watch people, and I did this for a number of years. I watched couples. And of all the couples I watched, I found three that were in love. Now, love is a very funny word. Very funny word, because it's not what you think it is. And we can talk about that if you'd like. But basically, those three couples, it was very interesting. They played a very different game. You know, I'm in love with you because the sex is good and I just saw you and this is really great and it's all fresh in those first couple of months. But over time, you get in relationship with people because of matching pictures. I like you because you're like me. And some of that is not about wonderful things. Your father beat you and my father beat me. I understand you. We need to be together. That's not love, but that's what creates relationship far more often than I love you because. One of the things that happened in these three relationships is they understood that in this relationship, I feel good when you smile, when you laugh. I recognize that if I talk about you, badmouth you, insult you, hurt your feelings, put you down, you don't smile and laugh, and I'm no longer in love. And what those three couples understood verbally in asking them what makes you different, they said, it's not that I love you. It's that I love me so much when I'm with you. Why would I want to make you not smile and laugh? Because I don't have this feeling when you're not laughing and I'm feeling wonderful. It's a very big shift in consciousness when you recognize that I love me. Then relationship takes on a different configuration completely. I love me when I'm looking at the tree, when I'm walking by the flower. I can simply stop and say, well, you look wonderful today, and wait for a response. You begin to create a very different relationship with yourself. Mm-hmm. And it's very powerful.
You know, it seems like we're always being guided in the right direction no matter what circumstances happen in 3D. For example, I was talking to a girl on Facebook last week whose boyfriend broke up with her, and she still has feelings for him. And I told her that perhaps he made a soul contract to lovingly break up with her at this point in time if she wasn't necessarily following through on her life path. You know, it's all a matter of perspective. And one thing I'd like to add, too, is that you can't hold any hard feelings to these people that have came into your life and for some reason they're no longer part of you. You know, you have to forgive them and yourself. That's real important. Forgive yourself. You don't want to have any of these hard feelings, and just move on.
You know, a lot of times it's not even forgiving yourself, because to a great extent, there's nothing to forgive. You had an experience, you played in the experience, and you created wisdom from the experience. Some people wouldn't call it wisdom, but you basically are now smarter. You're not going to necessarily do that again in different ways. But let me explain something that could be very valuable to many people. One of the things is, let's say a boyfriend, girlfriend get together. They really are passionate, great sex for weeks and weeks, and then and I like golf and you like golf, and I like tennis and you like tennis, and I hate Brussels sprouts and you hate Brussels sprouts. Love. But over the past couple of weeks, you've started eating Brussels sprouts and haven't liked golf that much anymore. And by the way, I'm not liking tennis anymore. And all of a sudden, my like relationship, like attractions, are no longer there. But you still love me, and I have to say one night, I can't do this anymore, I got to leave. And eventually, you won't let go, and you won't let go. So I get really angry, and what I really do is I rip my energy out of your space, because we get in each other's space when we love one another. And so all of a sudden, you're crushed in this process. And I go away. I don't feel good, but I go away because I have collected my energy up. But I'm still a little off balance. You, on the other hand, have a very big hole in your stomach and in your heart, and you call that grief. So let me be really clear. Grief is a very simple thing. It is, I got in your space when I was loving you, and I gave you my heart, and I gave you all my passion, and I just gave you my whole life because you're the one, and then you left me. And I have this big hole. That big hole is your energy that you gave away that you haven't called back. If you had simply, if you can hear that, and then basically sit down, and sometimes it takes a couple of passes at this, but if you get very clear and sit down and create a red rose, simple tool, just we'll play with one tool, you create a red rose and you put it about 15 inches out in front of yourself or right out in front of your heart, and you just simply allow them to be who they are, and in fact you create, well, do it, and you just call your energy back, and you have this red rose because it's a tool, and it's a very important tool in real terms, as simple as it sounds. It will vibrate faster than slower, duller energies do. And it will collect you up, and it will call you back, and simply you bring that red rose back into the heart and simply place it there. You might have to do that 2-3 times, but that I've seen people in grief for years, and I've sat down with them and played this exercise and one other, and they were instantly out of grief.
Yeah, I like that red rose tool that you shared with us. That's great. That's a great idea for people to implement. Let me ask you this, Jim. Are we here for the experience, or is there a much greater reason why we incarnated to this planet at this particular time?
Yes and yes. So you are here for this experience, and you're a lot bigger than you know. And so there's a lot going on, and the soul plays a tremendous role in this experience. You know, I know the Creator created you, but the soul created you. And the soul has much more of a fingerprint, in a way, on your creation and why you're here. And so there's a tremendous set of opportunities and reasons once you start to answer that question from a place of knowing yourself. And so both questions are correct.
Okay, on that line too, where do soul groups fit into the shift that's going on? Where do they?
that's too hard of a question to answer. It becomes too much of an intellectual question or answer.
Okay.
because you can't not you, but it's not something that can be grasped. See, this rational mind that we have is very small in larger perspective of things, and the way it's been developed is to keep you safe and have you fit in. That's what the rational mind's job is. As you begin, as it's done that so well, it simply also asks a lot of very distracting questions. To keep you playing the same game, it asks distracting questions. And some of them become very intellectual and very interesting, and many people who are on this spiritual class ask really great questions. That's a really good question. But what happens is the cup to receive the answer is not available in the human body at a third dimensional level. The heart is very closed down because of the density, not because of good or bad, but because of the density of the fall of consciousness. That fall happened very rapidly and was not orderly. And when it was finally stopped by Metatron and others, it was structured in a very rigid pattern so that it wouldn't fall any further. That third dimensional rigidness has been loosened up and loosened up, but there's no room for many of these answers to be received. Now that this shift is unfolded, 12-12, 12-21, you've got your freedom. That magnetic field of the third dimension isn't there. But the cup needs to be grown. It needs to be nurtured. It needs to be structured. It needs to be intentional. And it begins to make room for bigger answers. But the bigger answers, like the answer to that question, is really found in a fifth dimensional space. Because when a person is too busy in the noise of the day and worrying about David Icke's and his speech and the Bilderbergs and the Federal Reserve Bank, all real things. But when your focus is there, it's not in the cup. And so as you begin to get up into these vibrations of well-being and respect and know how to manage your attention point, a huge concept, your attention point, you basically begin to have a sense of softening is not the right word, but an ease, an expansiveness. Then the mind, the kind of the higher mind of who you are, begins to become fertile. And it's in that fertileness that a whole lot of information is drawn. And then that begins to create the cup. And then the soul has a place to come into the Sacred Heart and experience yourself.
Well, speaking of real things, there's been a huge movement against Monsanto and their GMOs, and I've covered that here on N5D Radio. How important is our diet, what we're putting into our bodies and what we're eating right now?
It's always important. And these vibrations, again, we're in transition. And so keep in mind those, let's go back to your Bilderbergs and those world corporate Illuminati type of things. They have an agenda. And these are not just from this planet, these guys that have an agenda. But let's not go any further than that. But what happens is where David was correct in his statement, we are the masses and we are becoming very conscious. What happens is when the consciousness simply says no more, those that are in control and demanding and domination, they have nobody to dominate. And so when you start to take charge of your own diet, you begin to open up these sets of receptivity for your own or higher frequencies. So it's just a very prudent thing to begin to do.
Definitely, you know, and it's like they're saying in the chat room, you know, you really want to take care of the vessel that you're here with right now, and you want that running optimally in order to be able to receive these higher vibrations. I would definitely agree with that.
Yes.
Okay, now, many people have either gone through or are going through the dark night of the soul. How does the dark night of the soul fit into the shift that we're currently experiencing? Is that similar to the relationships?
Of what?
Go ahead. I was just wondering, would that be, yeah, to the relationships that we were talking about before. Would that be similar?
You're in transition. I can bring it back to that simple word.
Okay.
You're going from having a bag over your head and not being in the dark to a place where there is intense light and well-being. And so you're in transition. But part of that dark night of the soul for people is simply a fear of giving up their limitations. This third dimension is, I know myself because this is who I am and how I operate, based on how you created yourself in that third dimensional space. And many people are still carrying around the baggage of, I'm not okay. And so what, in being very simple, you don't even have to go through that dark soul of the night. There's nothing mandatory about that. But becoming conscious of managing your energy field and your own consciousness, what you do get to do is let go of those limitations and those fears with ease, rather than fighting them and having to deal with them in some really uncomfortable way. But regardless, however you choose to go through the process, whether it's in ease and graciously and with well-being, or fighting, screaming, yelling, fearful, and night sweats that aren't any comfortable or fun, that's your choice. Nobody's going to change your choice. I'm just telling you there's a much easier way than doing that. But because the third dimension electromagnetic field has been removed, and because that process of freedom has been made available, your ability to go through those transitions is so much easier now. But if you have beliefs that say, I need to put a sharp stick in my eye in order to ascend, knock yourself out, because you will.
So what's the best way to let go of your fear of limitations?
I can't tell you that. It's like yourself, love yourself, appreciate yourself, become easy on yourself. Recognize that a lot of the baggage you're carrying is simply other people's stuff that has nothing to do with you, nor has it ever. You know,
so
and much of it is misunderstood. Much of it is misunderstood.
Mm-hmm. So the answer would be subjective to each individual.
Of course.
Okay. Now, I've heard people say that they feel as though they have one foot in 3D and another in 5D. Have you noticed this as well, that other people are saying that?
Yes, I know that people say that.
Mm-hmm. Because it was weird. One time I was at the grocery store, and I'm walking by, and it looked like, you know, the people that I'm walking by, they all look like zombies. And finally, I'm trying to make eye contact with these people. Finally, I make eye contact with this one woman, and without saying anything, we're just like looking at each other like as if telepathically saying to one another, do you believe this? Are we actually in this world right now observing this? So I just thought that was kind of a really strange observation. I don't know if anybody in the chat room's gone through that either, but how you feel, like, you know, sometimes you got one foot in 3D and one foot in 5D and you're vibrating, and it just seems like certain people, almost sometimes as if you're invisible, you know, to other people that are vibrating on such a low level.
Yes, you do become invisible to them. They don't see you at all because they're so consumed with their own stuff. They don't even look past their own stuff. You know, that this space of 5D, let's keep it very simple. 5D is a place of well-being. It's a place where you're happy. It's a place where you aren't all revved up. It's a place where you can look at something that's off balance and allow it to be off balance, because they're on their path working through their work and their stuff, and it's not yours to fix. And it's a place where you simply begin to hold respect. You smile at somebody from a place of enjoying yourself. You know, we've all been at some point in time in something close to this where you have the great dinner party. You know, you've got friends that you may not have seen for some period of time, and you all get together, and you're all excited. And so you have good wine and good food, and you get together, and you're laughing. There's no pretenses. Everybody's having a wonderful time. And then somebody looks at their watch and says, geez, it's 3:00 in the morning. And everybody goes, no, that's not possible. That's present time in well-being. And simply, you're in love, I love these people, is what you're saying. And you laugh, and you can even make jokes and point fingers at somebody, and then everybody laughs, not at them, but it's even they laugh. It's like, oh, yeah, I was so embarrassed when I did that. The great dinner party. If you can begin to hold your awareness on the feelings of that great dinner party every moment of your day, you're going to find that to a great extent you become very invisible in that third dimensional world, but mm-hmm. you become very familiar with what the fifth dimensional consciousness is all about.
Yeah, you know, and it's such an unusual feeling because it's a place where not many of us have been prior to this because of that energetic level where you're just feeling that energy. You're living in this world, yet the people that are around you are almost oblivious to the energy that's going on that's right in front of their eyes.
This is where the statement, in the world, but not of the world.
Exactly. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. So in your opinion, how does someone know when they're in 5D?
Have you ever been happy?
Definitely.
And have you laughed when you were happy?
Mm-hmm.
And have you ever looked at a little child that's smiling up at you and you kind of go, wow, that's really cute, that's really nice?
Uh-huh.
And have you ever reached out to help a little child just simply move from one point to another? That's 5D.
Yeah.
That's 5D.
But we can do that in a third dimensional construct, so what's the difference?
In the world, but not of the world.
Ah. Very good. Now, in
Very
your
accurate.
Book, you talk about, yeah, I love that. In the world, but not of the world. Now, in your book, you talk about higher relationships. Can you explain that to our listeners?
In the new book, what do you mean the third dimension is going away?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you asked me the question again, higher relationships?
Yeah. Can you talk about the higher relationships that you mentioned in your book?
As you begin to step into this fifth dimensional vibration, as you begin to change these chakras, begin to understand the relationship of the lower three chakras to the physical and these three centers that I alluded to earlier, and you begin to both spin them and draw energy into them, you raise the vibrational frequency of your consciousness into these higher dimensions and higher realms of reality. In those levels, you have a number of choices that alter the brain. That 90% of the brain that doesn't work isn't supposed to not work. It's supposed to work, and a lot of it does, but it doesn't register in the third or fourth dimension realities. And mm-hmm. so as you begin to open up some aspects of the brain, open up some aspects of the relationships of these chakras, you begin to open up these fields of awareness, these higher mind level of consciousness, where the rational mind simply doesn't understand, nor can it grasp it in any way. And so you begin to find that in that quietness, you start to know things. And they're not necessarily factual things. They are how to absorb energy, how to move around, how to begin to step up these frequencies in the body. In that place, the whole objective is to change this physical body first into a crystalline light. It kind of becomes a fiber optic system of crystals. The human mm-hmm. body still somewhat looks like the human body. Let's call it looks just like it, except it's not quite as old as it might look in some ways. And as you basically begin to change these dynamics, you start to have a very different relationship with. And a lot of the relationship in these higher dimensions has no words. Words as a language is very tiny in relationship to these higher dimensions and relationships. But you start to have this clairaudience, telepathy levels. You start to have a knowingness. Your clairvoyance begins to act in different ways. and you begin to just know, see, and hear things, but not like you know, see, and hear things in this third, fourth dimensional space.
Hmm. Now, is there anything people need to do right now to prepare for the shift?
The shift has already happened, so it's transition. I come back to that word.
Yeah.
Is basically you do not have the baggage that you used to have. You're losing lots of your memory of who you thought you experienced yourself as in the past. That which has never been yours but you've been carrying around to a great extent is gone. And let me give you an opportunity. Think back at your third grade class, your fifth grade class. Think back even into your high school and see how much of that you can pull out of your memory, because at once upon a time you say, well, I never remembered a lot of that anyway. But I'll guarantee you, you don't remember virtually any of it. It's gone from you. You'll have little snippets here and there, but if I said, tell me about your past, a lot of the things that you made decisions that I'm not okay, you can't find them. There are some that you are hanging on to and arguing for, and they just jump right up as big red flags. But basically, you're not the same person anymore. And so as you begin to move into this transition, and you start to, in my case, you know, this is why I teach tools. If you can understand your energetic field, raise it to the vibration of almost the speed of light. There's a reason why I say almost. You step into the speed of love immediately. You begin to have access into who you are. The heart opens up, and you begin to know yourself. But it's a journey, and it's a set of sequential steps that everybody follows. You know, they follow them in one way or another. There's no, what I'm saying, I don't have any corner on any path. I'm just telling you that the path that we get to play on is the one that the archangels created and said, this has never been walked before. And my observation so far is, and I'm dumbfounded, to be honest with you. I look back at things I thought, you know, I had to do a class tonight, and it's like, oh, gosh, what am I going to teach? And I thought I was making things up on different occasions. And I look back at those, and they are so precisely laid into the stepping stones for people to step into this ascension. It blows me away.
Wow. Now, we're going to take a real quick call here. We have area code 307 on right now. 307, you're on in 5D radio. Hi, can you hear us?
Hey, Greg, it's Mike. How you doing?
Hi, Mike, how are you?
Not too bad, buddy. Interested in the, yes, I can hear you. The relationships on the twin flame.
Okay. What's your question for Jim?
How does that relate into the new energies right now?
You know, this is, again, one of those things where the twin flame is really misunderstood. You know, it's like Archangel Raphael and Mother Mary are twin flame. And it goes on and on. And so it's something that is really at a much higher consciousness than it plays out in a physical third-dimensional world. It's not understood by the rational mind. I'm not begging the question. It's just it's too full, and there's no words for most of it. Sorry, Mike. I would like to help you, but I can't give you a much better answer than that.
Okay. Thank you, Jim.
So, I appreciate that. Thanks for calling in, Mike.
Yeah. Thanks, Greg. Yep.
All right.
So,
take care, brother.
Greg, you're about running out of time, is that correct?
Yeah. It looks like we're just about out of linear time that never existed. So how can our M5D family find out more about you, your programs, and your free webinars?
Well, the free webinars are in the archive on the website, masteringalchemy.com. There is a series of pieces of information on the website that says this is level one, this is level two. It explains what the body of work is. There is a huge archive of free information. There was a free webinar that was given last Thursday, part one, about your attention point and why your attention point is so directly related to your ascension. And there is a part two coming up this Thursday that's free if you just go to Mastering Alchemy and kind of sign in so you can get the go-to webinar information. But my business model is to give away as much as possible for free. And there are these three classes that we do charge for, but we keep lowering the price every year. But nonetheless, we charge for them to keep the business going.
That's so awesome, and I'm with you. I try to give everything away for free on N5D too, and that's all we can do. And I'd like to thank you so much for being our guest, Jim, and thanks for all you're doing in humanity's best interests.
My pleasure, Greg. It's been my pleasure spending the time with you here. Keep doing
all
the good
right.
stuff
thanks.
You're doing.
You as well, brother. Thanks so much. All
Have
right,
great
take
evening.
Care now. You too. Bye-bye. Okay, so next week our special guest will be out-of-body expert William Buhlman, and the following week Dolores Cannon will be here with us. As always, we're going to close out tonight's show with a song written and performed by my co-host Heidi Cole called Walk On Through the Rain. So on behalf of Heidi that's not here tonight, this is Greg from N5D.com. Namaste, everyone.